8816, immediate suppression on target.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Shot or no shot with Cap'n J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Good morning and welcome into the Cap'n J-Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000, and we're streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. With the returning David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. Time for Shot or No Shot, brought to you by
Hawthorne Betting Bars by Club Hawthorne, featuring horse racing, video, slots, sports betting through Points Bet throughout Chicagoland. We got the Preakness end of the week. Hopefully we'll give you another winner like we did on the Derby. Here is Shane Orley.
Good morning, boys. How we doing? Kaplan, good to see you again.
Good to be back. By the way, who won our little in-show contest that we ran? We all picked like four horses.
I imagine you did. I have to go back and look. I've got the paper in my backpack. I'll check in the break.
You. Thank you.
Looking nice and European, by the way, in this lightly washed denim jacket.
Well, this is old.
Looked like you picked up some style, Cappy.
Yeah, this is from, I didn't buy this.
Is there. That I mean, a Canadian tuxedo today, Kaplan? Denim on top and on the bottom?
It is.
Look at that.
Cap, about that?
Cap from Winnipeg.
There you go.
It is.
The only thing I'm wearing that's new, I didn't buy much stuff there.
Yes.
Is my Springsteen hoodie.
Yes. You have the complete European look. That's what you're wearing today. Chic on the top, chic on the bottom. Just free-flowing. You smell of weed.
No, I do not.
It's really, you don't have a good sense of smell.
Smell of chocolate.
Do you have chocolate weed? Wow, that's amazing.
They actually did.
I can smell it from here. It's a little bit stark, but it's okay. It's all right, man.
It was cool, man. Amsterdam. Ooh, awesome.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How was she?
Awesome.
That's ridiculous.
Hot.
Here's Shane Dorling. Okay?
All right, boys. Cappy, we talked a lot last week about national media praise of the Bears. It just continues to grow. Here's Greg Rosenthal of the NFL Network on which team will go worst to first.
I'm going
to
take the team that had the worst record in the NFL.
Whoa.
The Chicago Bears going from 3-14 to winning the NFC North. Look, I love the Lions, but I think this division is up for grabs.
Totally.
It wouldn't totally shock me if any one of these four teams won it. And the Bears had a great offseason in terms of their process. They added a lot of picks. They upgraded their offensive line. They upgraded their defensive line. And you don't have to squint too hard to see Justin Fields as the best quarterback in this division if he takes a big Jalen Hurts-type leap this season.
Oh,
a lot more weapons around him. Let's go, Bears.
Oh, my God.
Shot or no shot, the Bears can win the North.
Yeah, no shot. No shot. They don't have a pass rush yet. I do not see this team going from the number one pick, three wins, to 10 or 11 wins and winning the division. I don't see it. Now, maybe it'll happen. I hope it does, and I hope it's not a pop-up. And that's Sylvie's. I don't want to steal his phrase. That's Sylvie's phrase. I don't want to see that. I want to see sustained success. So whatever that takes. I just think there's another free agent class and another draft with two number one picks. Now let's go.
Why did he say that? Why did he do that? You know why he did that? Because he wants to be, look at me. If the Bears do get there, he wants to do jazz hands and say, go play the tape because I said it first. It's not because Rosenthal really believes that. He's doing that because he wants it bookmarked that he put it out there. Why? This is just a setup for failure. Shea said it last week. When you get these pundits out of here that's trying to go over their skis on the Bears, clearly they're just saying, it's one look at me. The other thing is, it's like, well, Justin Fields is definitely going to make this huge leap because we see Joe Burrow. But God forbid the Bears win seven games. Oh, my God, this Fields just sucks. They should have went with the draft pick instead. Poles is an idiot here on the home of the Bears, ESPN 1000. All these things are going to happen, Cap.
Correct.
So why can't you just look at it incrementally and say, three wins? Okay, next step, 6-7 wins. Next step, 2024, you should be ready to go. Can't do that, though. You just can't look at something with gray. It's either going to be this team's going to be awful or this team's going to be great. There's never been a middle from these guys.
And you have Peter King, who I have the utmost respect for. He was on the afternoon show. I don't know if it was, and I didn't listen last week. I was out of country, but the week before, I think he was on. Peter King's Football Morning in America, I was just looking at it, he has the Bears 29th out of 32 teams. 29th!
Okay.
Doesn't mean he's right. just means that's where his opinion is.
He's looking at it with a careful eye because he kind of sees what you see. Like, hey, you get some improvements, but will the improvements manifest itself into more wins? That's what it comes down to. He's just being cautious. That's fair. 29th? Yeah.
I have them.
I think that's overly pessimistic. I feel like we can thread the needle a little bit between 29th and worst to first.
21st?
That's where I have them.
Yeah, I have them like 23, 24.
It's fine. Surprise us. How about that?
Right. Well, surprises. If you go out and kick ass and everything hits, great. And it's sustainable, awesome.
More wins there are, the more likely that Eberflus will stay.
Wow.
It's fair, right?
It is.
Fair. You get more than six, seven, eight wins. Okay, now Eberflus can stay. Now he's turned the corner. And, of course, let me make sure that you hear this very clearly as well. The more success that the Bears have, the likelihood that Getsy will get a head coaching job. Shea.
Wow, he's already got the OC out of here.
Well, you know, I'm the biggest worst to first guy on this show. I look at the standings from last year. I think the Jets, the Browns, the Broncos, all much likelier candidates to go worst to first. I think the Bears could be much better. Mm-hmm. Maybe not first place in the division. But betting markets are also talking a little bit. Believe it or not, the current betting markets for MVP list Justin Fields in a three-way tie for seventh with Aaron Rodgers and Trevor Lawrence at 16-1. He only trails Mahomes, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, Jalen Hurts, and Lamar Jackson in MVP odds. Mm. Shot or no shot, Justin Fields will be a top 10 quarterback in 2023.
That's a no shot.
Yeah, I'm with Hoodie. That's a no shot. I think he's going to take a big step vastly improved. Mm-hmm. Top 10? I can write down 10 guys right now that I would rank above him. Mm-hmm. A year from right now, if he has a really vastly improved season, then we can have that discussion.
That's a no shot. I mean, again, everything's predicated on the – if it's going to be like that, then it's going to be an explosive offense, and it will reach 9 or 10 wins. I just don't see that for this team just as of yet. I know that just having a difference maker, a wide receiver, makes a whole big difference for the Bears and DJ Moore. So, of course, the offense should be better, Cap, but again, it's about timing. It's about timing. And it's about working as a cohesive unit. That means the offensive line's working. That means that Cole Kmet's taking a step. That means you're getting something from Chase Claypool. So all those things have to work in concert.
And you have good health because the depth still is not there on this roster, which Ryan talked to us about. Mm-hmm. It's going to take another draft class and another free agent class to get the depth where he'd like to have it at the least.
Shane Arling.
The Philadelphia 76ers lost yesterday to the Boston Celtics in the East Semis Game 7. You hate to see it. Wow. Joel Embiid, who scored only 2 points in the second half and was 5 of 18 in the game, had this to say post-game.
You can't win alone. I can't win alone. I can't. Me and James, we just can't win alone. You know, that's why basketball is played 5-on-5. So, you know, we just need everybody to just, you know, try to keep finding ways to get better, and, you know, we'll be fine.
He didn't stop there. He also remixed the Giannis quote, "This is a step in the process." But the Sixers really haven't taken steps. They have not gotten out of the Eastern Conference semis. They make it seemingly every year and lose seemingly every year to Boston. Again, you hate to see it. Shot or no shot, the process failed.
That's a shot. That's a shot. 10 years, Cap. Where's the championship? 10 years?
Agreed.
You can't say trust the process. And again, just to make it very plain, we're going to lose on purpose, but we still want your season ticket money. We're going to lose on purpose, but still come to the arena. But you got to trust the process. Trust me when I say this. It's like a politician. It's like anyone else is going to make you promises and it falls short. Just keep paying the money. But just trust the process. Just get used to about 4 or 5 years of losing, and we'll turn this around. Cap, you can say, like Davidson with the Blackhawks, it's going to be a rebuild and never promise anything. Just say rebuild. He didn't promise anything, right? All of a sudden, bam, they get the number one pick, which is amazing. But the Sixers told people, trust the process, and a championship will come. It's a failure.
So
it's a failure.
I agree with you. It's a failure. But you can't have Sam Hinkie tear it completely apart and talk about the process and not let him see it to completion. They fire him after 2016. Out. See you later. They bring in Brian Colangelo. He goes 80-84. They launch him. Now they've got Elton Brand. Isn't Elton Brand still their GM? Doc has...
No. It's the Daryl Morey.
Daryl Morey's there.
Daryl Morey's there, but Elton Brand is still involved, I think.
Well, he's in the back like James Jones for the Suns.
And Doc has a lot of sway over it.
Yeah.
Again, the Ben Simmons thing didn't work out. The Harden thing hasn't been great. They got talent on that roster. Big time. If you're going to dump Embiid, if he wants out of there, make the call, Arturis.
It does sound like, Cap, that may be what happens anyway, whether he wants out or not. It just hasn't worked. It sounds like they may part ways.
Well, if it's not Embiid, and I said this on the show 2 years ago too, Cap, I told you, I said Embiid is going to be unhappy with Philly because they will not win the championship. Everyone is talking about MVP. Oh, you know, you got to give Embiid or Jokic. It doesn't matter who the MVP is. Are you winning a championship, yes or no? And so it's not just Embiid. It's also James Harden, too. You know what James Harden is? James Harden is what a pinch hitter used to mean in Major League Baseball. You pull him off the bench, and boom, he comes through with a base hit. Boom. So I'm saying sporadic offense, sporadic play. James Harden for a Game 7 to score 9 points is inexcusable. And some dumb team will pay through the nose for James Harden's like, he's the elixir to fix things. No, that's not who he is, Cap. He's not that player anymore. He gives you some signs every now and then, but he's like that veteran ball player. You know, he's still got a little something left. He doesn't have anything left in the big moments. He fades away, like every Game 7 he's played, fades away. And Embiid still has a good basketball left in him, but James Harden, absolutely not. If you're looking to win a championship, he can't be one of the frontline guys.
How old is James?
You see the beard?
Yeah, the beard's not good. It's too big. Take it from a bearded guy like me.
Uh-huh.
James Harden.
Still a young man.
In August will turn 34.
Still young enough, but I mean... But
still
done.
A productive player. What do you have, 45 the other day?
But Shay, done.
Yeah, he's going to go die in Houston. He's going to like die. That's going to be where his career goes to die, professionally speaking.
All right. Do you have one more for us?
It's very quick and it is fun. My wife was watching a TikTok. I overheard something that has since become some viral gossip. A popular Instagram gossip account, I think it's called Dumois, claimed Kim Kardashian and Tom Brady are hanging out and, quote, having fun as Kim searches for a new vacation property. She was spotted driving around in his golf cart. Shot or no shot, this is the Danny Zetterman Voltron.
Wait. Kim Kardashian and who?
Thomas Edward Patrick Brady.
Cut that meat.
Wow.
That is that's tough for Danny. The biggest Tom Brady fan, and then used to be the biggest Kim Kardashian fan.
Correct.
Oh, God.
This might get him back in on her. This is the Voltron moment, Brady and Kim.
God
Maybe
almighty.
They're just friends with benefits. I don't know.
That actually was the quote. They're just friends, but they're having fun.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Like, if you're Tom Brady.
That's a shot.
You just got done with your career and your divorce, and it's all everything you do is public. Why not have a good time for a while? He's single. He can do anything he wants.
With her, though?
Dude, she may be a lot of fun to hang out with.
Sure. So is being in Wrigley Field. Coming up next.
Wow.
might be fun with her, but also it's fun being in Wrigley Field as well. Coming up, we go around the National Football League. Jesse Rogers on baseball at 8:35. All part of the mix on Cap and Jay Hood.
Welcome back.
Welcome back to Cap and Jay Hood on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
Nick Foles sucks. He sucks.
I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.
I love the Green Bay Packers.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
I want winners.
He starts to come and he pulls out.
This is a really thickly built guy.
I mean, what's the answer you're looking for on these things here?
Time to go around the National Football League here on Cap and J-Hood here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. With you until 10 o'clock, then we crosstalk with Black and Abdallah at 10, followed by Carmen Yurko from 12 to 2, Waddle and Sylvie 2 to 6. It'll be Tyler and Meller from 6 to 8 in for Black and Abdallah. Then Freddie and Fitzsimmons, 8 to midnight here on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN 1000. Around the NFL, here's Shay Norling. Shay?
Well, boys, if you ever needed more proof that time is indeed a flat circle, here it is. The Panthers, who just selected Bryce Young, number one overall, to be their quarterback, will give first-team quarterback reps to Andy Dalton.
Ah, here we go. The veteran shepherds in the kid. God almighty. It is amazing. Dalton, again, in the same situation. And you know how this ends, right? Oh, yeah, yeah. I'll be out in four games. Oh, yeah, yeah, I got it.
Right. But Red you're going to pay me.
Just like the Bears, man.
But you're going to pay me to do it.
God. For him, it's got to be like, man, I know I'm the heir. You know, I know he's the heir apparent. I'll just do the best I can. Just keep paying me. But he's got to answer all the questions. Just like before, like here in Chicago. What's it going to be like with that kid breathing over your shoulder? How are you going to help him out? All that. It's like, oh, God, here I go again. But that's where he is in his life, in his career. Veteran guy, and then step aside. All right. You're 1-3. Get out of there. All right. No problem.
I haven't looked at their schedule.
Hand me my clipboard, please.
Exactly.
And my visor. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right.
Make a note, hon. I got to get a haircut. The visor, it's not looking good.
Oh, my God. The kid's 0 for 16 out there throwing the football. What am I doing wrong, man?
I don't know. I'm a better quarterback than you, but they want you, kid.
So the
Tuck the OC. Next.
The Panthers' 2023 schedule.
Yep.
Let's see where he's going to get sent down. They are... come on now. Here we go. Okay, I got it. Lions. That's a preseason. Okay, they open. Panthers at Falcons.
Oh, my.
What?
Let's get it together here. Let's get through this.
Panthers at Falcons.
That's a
Saints
loss.
At Panthers.
Loss.
Panthers at Seahawks.
Loss.
Vikings at Panthers.
Loss.
Panthers at Lions.
Loss.
Panthers at Dolphins. Loss. Texans at Panthers.
Win.
Win. Colts at Panthers.
Win.
Panthers at Bears. Cowboys at Panthers. Panthers at Titans. Panthers at Bucks. Yeah, I mean, they got their schedule's not like, oh my God, tough. They got plenty of games in there that kid may get his head handed to him.
Yes.
It would be fun to see Andy Dalton as the starter when they come to Soldier Field, wouldn't it?
Oh my God.
Oh man.
Red Rifle.
The Red Rifle.
I'm back! Shay Norley.
How about we hear from Jordan Love on his relationship with Aaron Rodgers?
We talked after the trade. Just kind of just wish you the best, you know, going forward. He wished me the best and, you know, always there for me if I need anything, have any questions or anything. But I'm always just grateful to be around him and for the time I had with him to be able to learn and be behind him. It's very grateful for me.
Yeah, I think it's really cool, man. You know, Rodgers is going to be there for Jordan Love. I just can't wait for that first time where Jordan Love calls Aaron Rodgers. Oh, I've got to call him, man. I got a question about this offense. Let me give him a call.
You have reached a number that has been disconnected or is no longer in service.
Hello. That's exactly what would happen.
Yeah. Jets media relations.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is Jordan Love. I'm trying to reach Aaron, and his phone changed. Hold on a second. Aaron! Jordan Love!
He's gone.
Tell him he's now not a teammate. No.
Let me tell you something, Jay Moore. There's nothing more disappointing than when you think you got the number and it's no longer in service. It just, because it paralyzes you.
It hurts your heart. Your soul. You're like, oh.
When you hear those three tones, it's like, what do you mean it's disconnected?
Hello? That's the worst.
Yellow! That's what Jordan Love's going to deal with. All that BS, it happens all the time, right? Oh, yeah, like, it's like when Lovey, when he first got here, oh, Mike Ditka, you know, I'm going to be reaching out to you. I'm going to get your thoughts about the Bears. You know, I can't do this job without you. And all of a sudden, Ditka. Yeah.
We're sorry. You have reached a number that has been disconnected or is no longer in service.
Thank you.
Wow.
That's how it works.
That's it.
Shane Olin.
How about the Cowboys special teams coach? So remember last year with Brett Maher missing all those field goals? The special teams coach this weekend went out and said, we are considering anybody else on planet Earth as the potential kicker for the Dallas Cowboys.
Wow.
Well, that seems right. Anybody, living or dead, to kick the football.
Yeah. Find him.
Yeah.
Find him.
Makes sense, right, though, Shay? I mean, look what they had to deal with.
After all those misses, yeah, I'd be, like, scouring high schools for some old guy who might just be able to kick
a
few.
Can you make a field goal?
So the soccer-style kickers don't work anymore, or you would think you'd be able to find someone in soccer there to get it done.
So I was reading something. It was not a recent article, but I found it online while we were on vacation. I was trying to kill a little time in one of these tour lines.
Yeah.
And I got on the Wi-Fi. Harry Kane.
Yeah.
The English Premier League said before he retires from sports, he wants to leave soccer and kick in the National Football League. Big Harry Kane.
Yeah.
That guy's got a leg. Maybe you call him up. Harry?
You say big what?
He's got a leg. Big Harry Kane.
Well, someone call it that.
Jeez.
I love your Harry Kane,
though. Oh, you no.
You do? But I love him, too. He's a great kicker.
Wow.
How's your Harry Kane? Here's Shane Orland. Harry?
All right. We have to talk about this. This broke shortly after we were off the air on Friday. The Vikings traded Za'Darius Smith to the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah.
Because they're trying to hang on to Dalvin Cook.
Yes.
And they've got to make some salary cap maneuvers. Mm-hmm. Za'Darius Smith's a good football player. Cleveland, at some point, man, they got to start turning all these moves and all that talent. They've got a lot of talent on that roster.
I think they're going to have a good season.
You would think.
Who's quarterback?
Keep the guy out of the massage parlors. They should be okay.
Just asking.
Is he getting massaged? I don't know.
It's a good question, though, right? I mean, you joke, but it's got to be concerned.
Got to be.
Are you focused on football now, or are you trying to get,
Yeah.
The old one-hitter, the one-timer.
That's right.
Yeah. Do you think this is a mistake by the Vikings, by the way? Like, after the year that Za'Darius Smith had, you get 10 sacks. I know he's 30 years old, so maybe you're concerned about the age. But prioritizing Dalvin Cook over a guy who got you 10 sacks off the edge, this is part of why I think this Vikings team is going to come way back down to earth. Because they are losing pieces on the defensive side of the ball.
Dude, they got cap issues. What are you going to do?
They weren't, like, we know that they won the games, but they got lucky a lot last year. Now they're less talented. I don't know. This prioritizing Cook over Za'Darius Smith, I probably would have prioritized Smith.
Again, Shay, I agree with you that there will be a regression with the Vikings. And it's even more than the differential number. I'm just, like, Cap, I still think they're good enough to make the playoffs. It won't be a 13-win ball club, though. I'm even looking at just the head coach because I don't know what to expect there.
Kevin O'Connell.
Yeah, so, and I don't know. Hey, do you have the win total, or do you know the win total for the Vikings?
It's 8.5 with heavy juice to the under.
So ESPN just posted their 1-32 rankings while we're on the air this morning.
Yeah.
What number, 1-32, do they have the Vikings?
17.
20?
It'd be 14.
Okay, well.
They have them at 14. They have, where do they have the Bear? And who is the lowest ranked NFC North team?
I don't know what you're looking at, but it looks like you're looking way down on the list there. Your eyes seem like it's way on the to the bottom of the screen. So it sounds like 29. Just basically on your eye level.
It won't be that low. Probably 26.
27 is where the Bears are at. The only teams ranked worse than the Bears: Tennessee, Indianapolis, Tampa Bay, Houston, and Arizona. Bears are dead last in the division.
Yeah.
Anybody just thread the needle with this team? Either they're the worst team in football, or they have an MVP-caliber quarterback, and they're going to win the division.
Yeah.
Can we just get in the middle here
That's what. Yeah.
And go, they're probably in the 20s, maybe the low teens, and we'll see what happens.
I keep preaching, man. Like, it's not as bad as one would think. It's not as great as one would think. I know gray is boring. I understand that. I know beige is boring. But that's who the Bears are. They are boring right now until we start to see fireworks offensively. It's who they are.
Yeah. I was surprised the Raiders were 19th. The Browns, 18th. There's some teams that surprised me. Detroit was 13th. I thought they would be higher. I thought the Jets, who are at 12, would be higher. Obviously, Kansas City is number one, and the Bengals are number two.
Coming up in our next half hour, between now and 9 o'clock, we'll have an opportunity for you to win a Golf Center gift certificate from Golf Center Des Plaines.
It's a cool place, man. Cool place.
So if you're a golfer or know of one, stay by your listening device on how you can win a prize from Golf Center Des Plaines. Jesse Rogers coming up with the latest on the Cubs and Sox. Cap and Jay Hood on YouTube. YouTube.com. Look for ESPN 1000 channel and subscribe to ESPN 1000 on YouTube.
Here's today's headlines with Cap and Jay Hood.
Good morning, Chicago. The Cubs got blown out for the second consecutive game, this time to the Twins by a score of 16-3. The Cubs will fall now to 19-21 on the season. The Sox dropped the series finale against Houston 4-3. Berger and Robert both homered in the game. White Sox have not won a series against Houston since 2019. The Celtics eliminated the 76ers yesterday, 112-88 in Game 7. Lakers and Nuggets start tomorrow. Celtics and Heat on Wednesday. NHL playoffs, Vegas won the series against the Oilers in six games. We'll await the winner of the Kraken and Stars Game 7 tonight. Jay Moore.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000. Cap and Jay Hood are back on ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports.
Don't forget, we got a giveaway for the Golf Center Des Plaines this half hour. If you're a golfer or know of a golfer, stay by listening advice on when to call to win a gift card for Golf Center Des Plaines. As we go to the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Uh-huh.
We
find Jesse Rogers, who covers Major League Baseball for ESPN and ESPN.com. His beautiful face right across my big HD TV yesterday on Baseball Tonight. He joins us here on Cap and Jay Hood. Good morning, Jesse.
Yeah, me and HD is not good. They don't go together, right? On the 65-incher. I'm doing well. I'm still at the mothership going inside for some meetings here. And it's been a nice couple days here so far. But, you know, the one thing about baseball, we talk about East Coast bias. Well, there's an East and a West Coast bias at Bristol right now. The NL and AL Central, maybe deservedly so, doesn't get much conversation when I'm in the meetings about baseball right now. And like I said, it's deserved. Those two divisions are terrible. And, of course, that gives the Cubs and Sox a chance to own them with their ability to spend. Not that they spend it all, and not that they own the divisions either. But it's amazing how we talk so much East and Ohtani and the Dodgers and Mariners and Padres, but not a lot about the two central divisions.
Yeah, obviously you're a baseball guy with that weak bear weather take that you had last week with Hoodie. Obviously you're a baseball guy, Jesse.
Which take? They'd win 8 or 9, that one?
That wasn't probably the best, but when you said, oh, bear weather, and Hoodie had to smack you back to reality, there's no such
thing as bear weather. Arizona Cardinals in late December, you get a little bit of an advantage at least. Come on, at least a little.
It's just a bad team, Arizona. All right, so let's start with the Cubs. I'm over in Europe. I'm still following the games. I'm not watching them, but I'm on my phone. Wow, 16-3, and they're getting drubbed. David Ross, and I like David very much. I think he is a really good dude. I think he runs his clubhouse. I have talked to players that play for him. They said he holds you accountable. Uh-huh. They like him. I'm also watching, like, lineup construction. I don't hold the managers as responsible as others do for what I see from bullpens, because if I give the ball to Jonathan Hood, do your freaking job, and I look like a genius, don't do your job, and I look like the idiot. But in terms of lineup construction, A, why did it take so long to get Christopher Morel up here? A. B, why am I seeing Nick Madrigal, who Hoodie warned me about, in the lineup over Christopher Morel? Can you take me through lineup construction, please, and David Ross's problems?
Well, Morel's playing a lot more, right? I mean, you can't deny what he's done. So he's going to stay in the lineup for the most part. Look, the question about him coming out of spring training is absolutely a Jed Hoyer question. I'm sorry. He's in charge of the roster. He hands it over to David Ross. Why Jed Hoyer, and I've said this many times already, didn't trade Madrigal the day they signed Dansby Swanson is beyond me. The kid hit 16 home runs last year. This isn't a Matt Mervis question who hadn't played and maybe needs more seasoning. This guy established himself last year, sure, with a few strikeouts and weaknesses, but he had established himself. That month in the minors did nothing last year. So to me, it's a roster question, and that's a Jed question. Why is Nick Madrigal on this roster when you had Morel and Wisdom? That was mistake number one. But as far as some of these other things, I think David Ross has taken way too much criticism. Let me ask you a question. Maybe this is online criticism. Let me ask you a question. What did Vegas set the over-under at? 78 wins. What did Jesse Rogers set the over-under at? About 80. What did other pundits, probably including you guys, set the over-under at? About 80,
yes.
Give or take a game or two. What are they on pace for? About 80, 78, Vegas, whatever. They're playing up to their means. And, yeah, there's different ways to get to 78, and if it's David Ross, is the reason that, you know, is he the reason they're holding the team back? No. They don't have a number one starter. They don't have a closer. They don't have experienced bullpen guys like Keegan Thompson and Abel Ousley playing in these high-leverage situations. These were starters a year ago. Their lineup isn't completely lengthened out just yet as Morel and even Mervis, you know, get their feet under them a little bit, along with Miguel Amaya when he was up there. So there wasn't an all-star playoff roster in the first place. Why are people complaining about David Ross when they're probably going to match what everyone thought they were going to do?
This whole thing where the Cubs don't have a number one, I think Justin Steele would like to have a word.
Well, he's emerging. He's emerging. Yeah, I don't disagree with you. But
he's emerged.
I don't know if he's an all-star.
I don't know. Yeah, he's an all-star, Jesse.
Okay, he's on his way to the all-star game. Cap, 20 days into the season, you said this was a playoff team. Can we give a sample size a little bit larger? I like Justin Steele a lot. I wouldn't necessarily start him up against, you know, pick a number one starter in the league in the playoffs right now.
Kershaw.
Let him grow.
Right. How about Kershaw?
Kershaw's great.
Yeah.
He's got experience.
Yeah.
So, well, look, I'm nothing against Justin Steele. You're missing the point here. The point is, this was a 78-81 team by all means, and that's what they're playing like right now. Now, is it David Ross's job to bring out more to get them to overachieve? Yes. But I don't think that's a demerit against them that they haven't been able to do that every time out. They still might. I think if this offense evolves throughout the season, they could still have a really good one, and they still could win the division. But I don't think David Ross is holding them back. If Eric Hosmer bats sixth or eighth, is it any different? Are the outcomes any different? The fact that he's playing is a different story. The fact that he's on this roster is a different story. Those are Jed questions as much as Ross questions.
You and I went through the schedule last week, Jess, and we talked about this month of May. Have you seen this? I'm sure you have, Cap. Where the Cubs are playing Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Rough 2 out of 3.
Now they get Houston.
At Houston. Well, just this whole road trip is a rough stretch, right? 9-game road trip. 2 out of 3 you lost against Minnesota. Houston for 3. Philly for 3. Into the Met series on May 23rd. Jesse, as you mentioned, this might tell a great story about the Cubs through these 9 games, about exactly who they really are.
And the new schedule does not help. You're not beating up on Cincinnati, and it used to be Pittsburgh. They're better. This new schedule is really exposing the divisions. Look at the AL East, all 5 teams over 500. Look at the NL Central. You barely have a couple. It is a tough one. 3 cities. I don't think they had 1 3-city trip last year. Maybe I'm wrong. A 3-city trip and no easy opponents. You have to survive, not necessarily thrive. Win 1 series at least, whether it be this one or Philly. The Astros, you saw them, they're hurting a little bit. They're beatable. They beat the White Sox, but they're at least beatable right now. They have all sorts of injuries. Maybe you can recover, win 2 out of 3 here, and then figure it out in Philly, who's starting to put it together. It's just there aren't a lot of breaks in the schedule with the way the schedule's set up. Simply because you're not playing in the division as often as you were before.
Jesse, what are his thoughts about the White Sox coming up next on Cap and Jay Hood?
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago. Cap and Jay Hood are back on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
Cap and J-Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. With David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. Jesse had to leave. We went to Jesse. Said, Jesse, you there? Jesse was not there.
He's in Bristol. He's late for his meeting.
You made me late, kid.
He told me to make it very clear this is his fault.
Well, you know what? I was going to promote a new... You know, Jesse's got a new book out. You know this, right?
What, Joe Madden Part 2?
Electric Boogaloo. There's a new book for Jesse, but we're not promoting it because he's not here.
Take that, Jesse.
So now we move on to... we'll fill the bill on the White Sox talk. But first, the first seven callers right now will be assigned a random golfer in this weekend's PGA Championship. Each day this week until Thursday, we will assign seven golfers through the top 20, with the final qualifier getting the field. The contestant who has the winning golfer will receive a $100 gift card to Golf Center Des Plaines. So we'll take the first seven calls right now. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776. We hope that you win. Again, a gift card to Golf Center Des Plaines, $100. It's our way of saying thanks for listening to Cap and J-Hood weekday mornings at 7.
We appreciate you.
Now, you think you got angst with the Cubs. Why don't you be a Sox fan like me, rooting for the team on 35th and Vec? God almighty.
How about this? We land.
Yeah.
We put our stuff in the room in Amsterdam and went out for a tour, a food tour, walking around Amsterdam. First, I said to my wife, what will be the first Chicago sports hat, jersey, jacket we see? She said, oh, it's got to be the Cubs. I said, no, it's going to be the Bears. The White Sox.
Yes.
It was 5 minutes in. There's a guy in a beautiful black satin jacket with the little socks on the breast pocket here, or the breast here,
mm-hmm.
and the back, huge script.
Yeah.
Socks.
Yes.
Like, oh my God.
That's the gift that keeps on giving for the White Sox. When they went to that look in 93, because Kenny Williams wanted the team to look tough, like the Raiders, that's, I mean, whether it's Ice Cube, whether it's other rappers, whether it's entertainers, it's Snoop, they'll all put on the Sox cap.
They will.
Because it goes with everything. It's black and white cap.
Crazy.
So it goes with everything.
I was surprised.
So it's
very surprised.
So it's not surprising. But how would you like to root for a ball club that's 14-28? I heard you on the recap on YouTube saying they just have more talent than what we've seen. Cap, you can't keep relying on that old trope of the Sox having more talent than what we see. Yeah, they might have more talent, but it doesn't manifest itself. That's a fine. Manifest itself into a championship or a winning team. They're 14-28. Cap. You can keep looking at that roster, but not, that dog don't hunt. 14-28. Absolutely not.
You know they're on pace to lose 108.
Yeah,
108.
Imagine that.
You're talking about picking in the top three in the draft.
Yeah. I mean, just think about that.
Oh, there you go. Fine money.
Yeah.
For the word manifest.
Manifest.
Goes to berniesbookbank.org.
And it's $1 for that, and the other dollar was for me calling the Golf Center Des Plaines gift card a gift certificate from 1995. So that's $2 today for me.
Crazy.
It's Monday. Okay, so I'm disappointed in the White Sox. You've seen my recaps, right? I did on your YouTube videos.
Yes.
Okay, you can tell that I'm not very happy about the ball club. But you lose the series against the Astros. You're getting ready to take on the Guardians starting tomorrow. But besides that, the controversy yesterday was about Tim Anderson,
mm-hmm.
right? Tim Anderson's at first base, and he said something, again, it went viral.
To Abreu.
What did you think he said initially?
So somebody tweeted, and I think I have it bookmarked here, but anyway, somebody tweeted yesterday that Tim had said, I hate this place. That is not true. That is absolutely not true. And so Vinny Duber, who does a great job covering the White Sox, always has. He was my friend at NBC Sports Chicago. He's over at CHGO now. Vinny went and asked him. And Tim said, I can tell you.
Tim Anderson said, I hate that pitch clock. There you go. I think everybody was worried about, they are obviously jumping to something, negative right away, but they were worried about maybe what was happening exactly in the moment. White Sox had four pitch clock violations today. You know, a lot of them. And one of them was during a TA at bat. So, you know, referencing maybe what he was talking about earlier to his former teammate there at first base with Jose Abreu standing right next to him. But, you know, Lucas was asked about it too. Pedro spoke about it after the game and said he wasn't happy about it, that this is something the White Sox have to clean up. Lucas said he was called for one between innings. So the warm-up pitches between innings, apparently he just went too long with one of them, and they called him for a pitch clock violation for it. And he was like, well, I didn't even know that was part of the rules. So he has to go back and check that out.
So that's from Vinny Duber from CHGO.
Okay, so he said, I hate this pitch clock, and he said it to Abreu, and apparently Abreu's response was, me too, or I do too. I love the pitch clock, but I'm not a guy who has to get in the batter's box four or five times a night. I think Tim has to adjust, just like every other guy. I think it's a great thing for the game. It moves things along. I don't need to see a guy redo the batting gloves, hike up my pants. Mm-hmm. Let me get set. Let's go.
Yes.
While we're young.
Yes.
But boy, oh boy, people automatically, it must be hates the owner. It must be hates being on the team. No. He has made it clear multiple times he would like to retire as a member of the White Sox. He's got an option year next year, the Sox option. And then he's a free agent, and they would like to get something done with him as well. So why this becomes such a nonsensical controversy, I don't get.
Well, I guess the feeling was is that when Anderson went back to first base and touched first base and was talking to Abreu, you know he's looking up at the first base side, right? Looking at the stands and looking up and heard the boos. And I guess people thought he said, boy, I hate this place. And can I just tell you, if he said, I hate this place, I can understand. I know he didn't say that, but if he did say that, I'd say that this morning to you, I'd say I'd understand because of the underachievement of the team. I mean, this team can't get out. It's got to be frustrating for him and others that this team cannot get out of neutral.
But hating this place and saying, I hate the way we're playing, or I hate this underachieving, would be one thing. He said he hated the pitch clock because he got booed because a ball got away and he did not advance to second.
Yeah.
And Stoney defended him on the broadcast.
No, I get it.
I understand his frustrations. Get him out and then figure it out because it's not going away.
I understand. And so when you see him saying other syllables, saying, I hate this pitch clock, I was like, I get it. But if he did say that, I'm saying, if he did say that, I'd understand. Absolutely, because he's got to be frustrated like a lot of longtime Sox players and management have to be frustrated at this team. The underachievement of this team, the inconsistency, the stagnation of this team. I understand if he did feel that way. But the way he looked up, he was probably looking around and just say, I hate this pitch clock. But if he said the other thing, I wouldn't blink an eye. I'd understand because it sucks when you're 14 and 28.
Completely agree. I did not see this type of underachievement coming. I did not. I did not think they were going to be a 95-win ball club. But I play like this? No, I did not see this.
Putrefied, lousy ball club every single night.
Right.
So looking at this.
Thank goodness they get a day off today.
They want to lose that too. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. It's hard to watch, Cap. As I always say, just give me something interesting right up to Bears training camp. Just keep it interesting.
Agreed.
Give me a chance. Give me a reason to turn the set on and watch a solid baseball team. Win or lose.
Okay, here's the thing. I truly love baseball. Love it. It's in my blood, just like you.
Yeah.
I so look forward to the season. And if my team is at least competitive, I'm good. Competitive. When the season's over in May, boy, oh boy, that's wildly deflating.
Cap found something on his trip wildly overrated. We'll talk about it in 2 minutes on Cap and J Hood.